Blog Talk Radio.
I was born and raised down in Alabama on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, cause deep down inside he was hurt cause he'd done all he could. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education he never had. He did wonders when the times got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely pays the bills we made. Oh, life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed, put his hands on my shoulders, and in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. 2 days later, Papa passed away, and I became a man that day. So I told Mama I was gonna quit school, but she said that was Daddy's strictest rule. So every morning before I went to school, I fed the chickens and I chopped wood too. Sometimes I felt that I couldn't go on. I wanted to leave, just run away from home. But I would remember what my daddy said, with tears in his eyes on his dying bed. He said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son. I tried to do my best. It's up to you. A strong rain came and washed all the crops away. And at the age of 13, I thought I was carrying the weight of the whole world on my shoulders. And you know, Mama knew what I was going through, cause every day I had to work the field, cause that's the only way we got our meals. See, I was the oldest of the family, and everybody else depended on me. Every night I heard my mama pray, Lord, give him strength to make another day. So years have passed and all the kids were grown. They just took Mama to a brand new home. Lord knows, people, I shed in tears, but my daddy's voice helped me through the years. Saying, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Oh, I can still hear Papa's voice say,
good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother Dave, and I'd like to welcome you to FM AM, For Men, About Men, where we come together to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word that will enhance us to strive towards the mark of perfection as men. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. I requested that song, and man, the tears start rolling down. When I was a child, I used to listen to that song. And there's so many things that kind of parallel my life. The song just always stuck with me. It has so much meaning of showing the value of a relationship between a father and a son. Yeah, it's an amazing song. It's an amazing song, and you know, still wiping the tears out of my eyes, because if one just takes a moment to think about our Heavenly Father and how He loves us in times when life seems hard and you just want to give up, you want to give in, you want to give out. Yet God continues to give us the strength through that quiet, still voice. You heard the man say he hear his father's voice, and he would press on because he said his father was dependent on him. God knew that Jesus would go forward and encounter pain and suffering and struggles, but yet he knew that his son would fulfill his mission. He knew that without a doubt. Even down to the point when the father even talked about Job and put him up for the test. he knew that Job would fulfill his role and his mission. Again, I'd like to welcome you to FMAM. I think it's really significant that we have a show of this nature. There are many out there, I'm sure, but I'm just honored. I'm humbled. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I can't find enough words to say how I feel about having this golden opportunity to talk about things that we as men need. But the first thing we need is salvation. For some of us, I don't know, because, again, this goes across the board. I remember when I used to go into schools, and the schools would ask me, how many people you want in the auditorium? And I would always say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you put one out there or you put 300, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to give what's in me because it's coming from the heart. And I understand the history was never changed by the multitudes. It was the ones in the twosie who stepped up when they say, who shall I send? Someone was sent. And when they went out there, them ones and twosies was the ones that changed history, and the multitudes followed. We know this because Jesus was that one. So it's so important that we recognize the value of being a part of something bigger than ourselves. God is bigger than us. He's mighty in us. He's that wonderful part of us. But you can't benefit from that if you're not in the family. You're missing out. See, many people know of God, but when you come into the family, you get to know God. You get to know your Heavenly Father. It's just like you might know your daddy's name. You might know your neighbor's daddy, but you only know of him. You don't know him. See, because that son or that daughter or that wife, they know him because they're in that house. They're in that environment. You need to be in this environment called the kingdom of God. So, again, I'm going to put out the prayer of salvation because I think through all the things that we do, everything that we share, the knowledge and the wisdom and all the things we will gather will all make sense and give us this value because the prayer of salvation is so important. So say with me wherever you may be, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know, Father God, that I've fallen short, but I come to you right now asking for forgiveness. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I want to receive you into my heart. I ask that you become my personal Lord and Savior. Now I, Lord, humble myself, and I ask you to help me to live the rest of my life following your word. Lord, I thank you for hearing my prayer, listening to my prayer, and answering my prayer in Jesus' name. Now that's the easy part. That's the easy part. It's nice when you get ready to go to work. The easy part is walking into the door begins once you get in. Now that you're in, your work is going to be again. And it's not so such a tough task, if you will, to try to walk in God's light if you humble yourself, if you allow yourself just to follow. You know, I was telling someone yesterday that I'm always in student mode. You can teach me. I'm always in student mode. There's nothing that a five-year-old, a newborn can't teach me if I open my heart and open my mind, open my spirit to what is being presented to me so that I may grow. But this is the beginning. Well, you know, I love to bring about posts because people have been given knowledge and wisdom, and they've gathered enough understanding that they've been able to write out these quotes so we can begin to grow from things that they have learned. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and I said, you have 46 years of knowledge that you have gathered. And because of that, even though I'm, by chronological age, I'm older than you, you have experiences I've never encountered. You have interpretations of those experiences that I may never see. But you can share something with me, and I can share something with you, and we can grow together. This is never about a counseling session where I'm the one who's a subject matter expert about your life, because I only know what you bring to the table. And from there, if we go back and forth, being like a basketball, a backboard for each other, we can gain that knowledge and wisdom to better suit us to move in the plan that God has for our life. So the quote for the day is, my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived and let me watch him do it. Charles Kelly. Every father should remember one day his son will follow his example, not his advice. Charles Kindler. It is easier for a father to have children than for children to have a real father. John 13. one of the greatest things a father can do for his children is to love their mother. I'm going to stop right there. You know, I know, and I'm sure anybody on the line listening, know many men who are very angry at the mother of their children, directly or indirectly, meaning if they're in the house, out the house, angry, to the point that they won't even go see their children. And I was telling this gentleman I was talking to, God who blessed me to be now his coach, counselor, however you want to call it, that, you know, he has a one-year-old. And I said to him today, I said, there is nothing that no one could have ever done to stop me from seeing my kid. If it meant I had to get 5 jobs, and I believe me, I'm not Jamaican, but they'll say, oh, you're Jamaican, man. You know, I would get 5 jobs. And I've worked at least 3 or 4 multiple times, even as a soldier. I get permission from the commander, I go to work. Because I knew that, as Elder talk about the seconds in the day of 86,400 seconds in a day, I knew that those seconds I didn't want to waste, especially if my purpose was big. Well, no one would stop the purpose that I have of being a father. So didn't care what my emotional state was towards a mother, which I don't have those ills, but fortunate enough because I had a mother and a father who taught me how to think a little different about that, that you always supposed to be that father. But too many people lose sight of loving the mother. As I talk to people about my previous wife, I always say to them that, you know, I love her. There's nothing going to change that. When I stood before God and I made that vow, now the vow changed because the role changed. But my love didn't change. We just changed roles. I'm not approving divorce, so I want to make that clear. I'm just saying that nothing changed my love for her. But you can't make people do what they don't want to do. So sometimes life do what it does, and you have to, as they say, do what it do, baby. So we move forward, but nothing was going to stop me from being there for my children. And I would tell you that because of this love that I show for my children's mother, it made a difference in how my son, who's the one who could talk to me, my daughter can't, it made a difference how our relationship is because of the way I treat his mother. So this is a primary example. As I said, quotes are very important. It is easier to build a strong children than to repair a broken man. We see a lot of men who are broken. And there are a lot of variables to this. See, we have the tendency to look at people at face value. But as I was talking to this young man again, I said that, you know, I believe human beings are walking books. You know, the word tells us God sent his word to heal us and redeem us. His word. Well, the Bible is words, the book. And it has multiple books and chapters in it. I believe that each of us have multiple chapters. So therefore, if you don't know the first 5 chapters of a person, you caught them right in the middle, you miss something. It's like going to the movie, and you walk in the middle of the movie. I don't care how you got your perception going. You walk in the middle of the movie, you're going to miss something because you didn't get the beginning of the movie. And if you walk to the end of the movie, you lost 3/4 of the movie. And if you walk in the beginning of the movie and walk out, you lost 3 more quarters of the movie. You've lost out. So if you don't get those first 3 or 4 chapters of that person's book, how can you make a judgment on them? And we shouldn't judge people to criticize. We should judge to understand them. You better understand people when you know the first 3 chapters of the book. See, a lot of behaviors we see within men is because things happen in those first 3 chapters. Oh, we recognize that in women. If she's been molested or sexually abused or sex traded or blah, blah, blah. We don't think about that for men. Do you know that men have the highest rate of rape? But they don't talk about it. They don't tell the story. Do you know that men are the disposable species? But we don't talk about it. And this is not me just running my mouth. This has statistically been done. I'm not a big fan of statistics, but they have their purpose. They have their purpose. So we have to recognize the importance of what happens to these broken men that we see. We see a high volume of our crimes are being done by men, broken men. Frederick understood that. Then being a great father is like shaving. No matter how good you shave today, you have to do it all over again tomorrow. You know why? Because growth is happening. growth in the father and growth in the child. My mother used to tell me, I didn't have a manual for you. It was trial and error. I had to learn you. And as you move through your developmental cycle, I have to learn you again because you keep growing. See, we sometimes miss these things. You know, I talked to someone and they said, I'm a thinker. I don't want to be rude. I want to say everybody think. To what level, that may be different. However, I value what they said. But we have to recognize that sometimes people's levels are different. You blessed to be able to think at this level. Let's say it was stairs, and you're on the 10th stair, which is the top of the stair, and they're on the third step. Well, that being said, they ain't at your level. But in some other area, because they say everyone tests genius in something, you're not at their level. We've seen kids on the America Got Talent who are compromised by social standards, maybe autistic or bipolar, whatever the case may be. And yet in that moment, they perform at a genius level. See, we are at different levels in our life. Again, that goes back to those chapters. So these quotes are significant. Hallelujah. Then let's look at what the scripture tells us. Proverbs 26:2 says, start on the way they should go, that even when they are old, it will not depart from them. And we're going to talk about that a little later. Then John, 3 John 1:4 says, have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. That when I look at my son sometimes, and again, remember we're all evolving. So, yeah, he's saying, I see. I was looking at, and it was talking about the commandments. I think it's 613 commandments. We always talking about the 10. See, we miss it somewhere. Somewhere. We don't even know we may be missing it. There's some, you know, surface things that we know that we shouldn't do, but we miss it. But yet, at the end of the day, when we begin to grow in God, remember, sharing the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, begin to get that discernment, then at that point, we begin to mature. We begin to grow. Then we begin to walk in his truth. And see, what happens with many of us, when somebody gets saved, as I said, that's the easy part of getting saved. We begin to make, well, you've been saved 30 years. Why ain't you changed? Why ain't you changed? Maybe they have. But as the pastor, excuse me, the elder was speaking today, you fall back because life happens. It do what it do, baby. Life happens. We have to be realistic about what life is. That is, as Pastor Processor said yesterday, Therese said yesterday, we still should not be deceived by Satan's devices. We cannot be ignorant. If you got a whole weapon, a whole arsenal of weaponry, that is powerful and mighty through God, you need to know about that weapon. See, when I went in the military, you need to be able to break your M16 down in 9 seconds. Blindfolded. That was the army I went into. They don't do that now. Put it together. You had to be able to feel it. You had to be able to know it. It had to become a part of you. Like a tennis racket, it becomes an extension of your arm. As we begin to grow in God's word, his word becomes a part of us. So now it flows out of us. Then it tells us in the scripture that Ephesians 6:4, Father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them in the discipline and the instructions of the Lord. Bring them in the discipline and the instructions of the Lord. See, we don't want to make them angry, but at the end of the day, you know, people got feelings. Kids come with their own innate mindset, skill set, spirit set, if you will, all those things. So you can't control everything they do. But it's upon you who has the knowledge and wisdom and trying to be a wise steward to raise your son and daughter to try not to anger them. But teach them. Give them instructions. If you want them to go to Chicago and you get them all worked up and upset because you yelling at them because they took your instruction to go to Chicago, but you meant to go to New York, there's something wrong. Now you're going to get upset. You got an attitude. And so you provoked to that. You just told me to go to Chicago. Why are you talking about New York? See, that's that foolishness. That's that self-seeking, that pride stuff. We should not upset them. We should discipline them, give them guidance and direction so that we maintain that, without trying to rhyme here, that protection. Because we need to be protected. See, that's what love's about. It starts with protection and it ends with preserve. We want to keep them around. We want to keep them on the right path. Then out of Second Corinthians 6:18, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, said the Lord Almighty. We become member joining this kingdom. We become sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. That's a beautiful thing. And then Proverbs 10:1 say, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Lord have mercy. So many of us, I believe me, I've been a fool. I've been a fool in my behavior. Oh, yeah, I made some poor decisions. I watched my mother's tears roll down her eyes because I always thought I was one up because I was a astute kid. So I did whatever I need to do. I study, research, watch stuff, thinking, oh, I can do this and do this and navigate and make it happen. And everybody be cool and nobody will know. But I brought tears to her. I brought tears to my father. My attitude. I remember my father sacrificed a bill, as we talked about the son from Patty, what he would do. My father sacrificed a bill so I could get a shaft jacket. He said, don't wear it to school. I was like, what's the point of getting a jacket if I wasn't? I think I told this story before. I took it to school. Lo and behold, life would have it. They stole the jacket. As a matter of fact, my best friend who had come into town Sunday, we talked about that and got some chuckles because he's known me since I was 9. And he knew the incident very, very well. My foolishness. See, we have to be wise, son. But that's a process. Then in Psalms 103:13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. We should all be able to create. My mother's 4 feet, 2, 3, I always call her 2 feet tall. I said, we only 2 feet tall. But she looked taller when she was whooping me when I was little. But anyway, again, we should be able to create an environment where that child has that reverent fear. See, I had that reverent fear, that respected fear for my mother. So today, if my mother said, I'm going to go upside your head, which she wouldn't have to, but if she said it, I'm going to take it to heed because she's built that reverent type fear. So now when she says something, as they say, E.L. Hutton, I think he said, when they speak, everybody listen. Oh, you're going to listen to my mama. Absolutely. It's the same with my father. My father's presence made you listen. Just him walking. Both of my dads were 6 feet plus. So at the end of the day, I caught somewhere in the middle of that. But at the end of the day, they had that reverent fear. But I want to share a few stories with you that I think is significant. And this is in regards to fathers. The first one is about being self-sufficient. The young lady said, I was reading an article in the newspaper when I came across a word that I didn't know. Dad, what is the meaning of this word apparently? My dad, as he usually did after work, was watching his favorite show. My dad used to do that too. And you have a dictionary, don't you? He shouted back. He didn't even look me in the face. I went back to my room, and there on my desk study table was that dictionary. 10 years have passed, and I still use that dictionary, along with the lessons I received earlier in life from my old man, to be self-sufficient. See, fathers, even they may be in the presence, but they may not be directly in the moment. He watching TV doing what he do. One would say he ignoring his child, but he had already put that dictionary. He had prepped her to be self-sufficient. My fathers did that as well. The next one was how I learned the value of work. My dad owned a fruit market on a busy street. The sidewalk in front of his store collected dust and trash, which needed to be swept daily. At 6 years old, I used to hide behind bags of potatoes when my dad asked me to sweep. I can understand that. But while sweeping one day, I began to find dollar bills under the dust and trash. I had no idea where the money came from. My dad had been putting money on the sidewalk, and soon I was happy to sweep even when no money was found. That father had created habits, good habits. He may use he thought outside the box, if you will, but he created something. His presence created something in that young lady that at the end of the day, she would begin to give value to work. The next one was good vibration, another young lady here. My dad died unexpectedly at 78, leaving our family heartbroken. Again, that presence. He's left the family. They're devastated. During the funeral mass, my sister felt her phone vibrating in her purse. She was a little surprised that someone would be calling her, knowing that she was at Dad's funeral mass. Afterwards, she found there was a message. "Hi, this is your dad," said a male voice. "I want to let you know I made it home." The caller obviously had the wrong number, but the message was clear. My dad had completed his journey to heaven and wanted us to know. Thanks, Dad, until we meet again. You see, Father has so much value if people would begin to open their heart, their eyes, and look deeply on what they contribute, what they bring to the table. Each of these brief stories showed us that their father, whether directly or indirectly, gave them something that would be a part of their future that they had learned from their past. Sometimes we have such an unrealistic expectation of a father that we lose sight of their importance. We know this because we have such an unrealistic expectation of God. Let's not let the negative define our relationship with our father, but let the past be the tools to build us for our future as we see the fathers to come. As I tell my, well, not so much now, but I used to tell my soldiers, your father couldn't give you what he didn't have, but what he had, he gave you, directly or indirectly. So I know last week we were on a series of the Godly Father, but I want to divert this week because Father Day is coming up, and I just wanted to address the value of a father. You see, my mother, as sweet as she is, she's soon to be 80, she gave me a call the other day. And as a matter of fact, it was yesterday. She said, "Son, I just want to," and I, unfortunately, she left a message because I missed the call. "She said, 'Son, I just want you to know that Oprah's doing a show on honoring fathers.'" But I didn't get a chance to watch it, so I decided to look, see if I could find some transcripts on it. But to my situation here, I was unable to find anything. However, I found an excerpt from an article basically giving her perspective. It says here, "The mogul detailed her own father's story, which she has told before. She said, 'My mother and father never married,' she says. 'They had sex one time. He gets a letter from after I'm born saying, send me money. You have a daughter. And the reason he did, he said, is because it could have been him. And the responsibility that he took for me, not just responsibility, but and loved and he cared and loved and gave direction and support to a young teenage girl. It is these things that made the difference in me and who you see today. Because had he not done this, I never would have probably been heard of." She said, "I saw over and over again in my father's barbershop, men would come in, hardworking men, doing everything they could in their life to support their families, working sometimes 2-3 jobs to do that." She added, "so that the story I know of black fathers, the ones I grew up with, and the man I know, the narrative of absentee's father, is not as accurate of a picture that they present." And this would be so true, especially with black fathers. I've been blessed to travel a lot, and I've seen fatherhood displayed in many ways, in many countries, many cultures. God has blessed me for a poor boy to see a whole lot. But for some reason, just for a little moment here, I don't really do race because I look at these things as external things. In a way, I understand the dynamics of it, but I try to stray away from that. I try to deal with people as people and behavior. That's just my way. Don't say it's right, just my way. Because I found that no matter what, if you get shot, I've yet to see a white man bleed white. I've yet to see an Asian man bleed, I'm just using this term loosely, yellow. I've yet to see an Indian bleed brown. I've always seen him bleed red. So there's some commonality there. So I try to stay away from that. And I used to always tell my Caucasian friend, unless you make me entertain the fact that you're white, you're just another human being to me. And that comes, again, by behavior, attitude, and presentation. So what we get to see here is men doing what they need to do. And then she presented, Oprah presented something I thought was significant. She said that she talked about a couple of fathers, one named Charles Johnson out of Georgia, who is raising two sons after his wife died following the birth of their youngest child. Now, when I was with my previous wife, we had our basement redone. And his name was Mr. Yancey. He's gone on to glory. And he had three daughters. All of them became successful. And they all had this work ethic that was off the scale. And they loved their daddy. They loved their daddy. His presence had made a difference. Then she talks about a military dad, one of them, you know, always I love the military conversation, talk about a military who lost his son in Afghanistan and was going to jump off the bridge. Look at this. He was going to take his life. Because the bond, the presence of his son was so significant, in a brief moment, he could not even fathom being without his son. And he decided not to when he heard his son's voice saying, Dad, don't do it. This ain't the way. As we heard in the song with Clarence Thomas, Patches, son, he heard his daddy's voice. The father heard his son's voice. That presence. That value. See, that gives value. That says the value of a relationship, just like our relationship with God, just like Jesus' relationship with God. That relationship, that relationship is so significant. You see, each of these stories tell a story about fathers and their value and how they are valued. However, it is rare that I hear the good of the fathers or their importance and the value of the fathers. We have allowed Satan's power and his devices to devalue the role of the father and what he brings to the family in such a mighty way that we may not see the fullness of what a father brings. But what we do see is the destruction we have fatherless home. As I talked about this, and again, this could be the co-parenting or the parenting. But the child is fatherless. This is what we're seeing. And as I mentioned last week, 24.9 million, 43%, or one in four children are without a biological step or adopted father. Now, if you do the math, when I used to do network marketing, they used to tell me that everybody's connected to 10 people. That's 240 million people. That's impacted just on that number alone. And if you do the math, look at the impact. And we think that because he ain't your son, or that's not your daughter, that I ain't got to be concerned about. We are 360 degrees separated, as they did a movie with Will Smith. We're connected, people. The movie was 360 degrees separation. But we're connected. We're connected. What affects me affects you. When you throw a rock into the pond, it has a rippling effect that affects the way the waves and the current of that water moves. We're affected. So it's an impact. And let me show you some again, just to kind of highlight again, that it produces four times a chance of a child being in poverty, which has increased the probability of behavior problems. When you're hungry, you do things. When you're hungry, you do things. I got in trouble one time, went to jail, and a young lady, this is back in the Afro days, and Jerry curls and scary curls and all other curls that was curling around. And I remember in there, I'm waiting for my time to see the judge. So I'm sitting there, I'm hearing the case. And so a young lady walked up there. She, back in the day, was a cartoon called Popeye. And his girlfriend's named Olive Oil. And well, this lady was as thin as Olive Oil. I mean, she was a rail. And so she had stole a pack of bologna. And she had stole some Jerry Curl. We call it Jerry Curl juice back then. And the judge looked at her and said, you know, I'm not going to charge you for stealing the bologna. I would have let you walk because you were hungry. Not that the law should not be fulfilled. But I'm charging you for taking the Jerry Curl because I understand that you want to look good, but that's cosmetic. But your survival to eat, that's more important. Again, you see, poverty calls people to do things. Then it says the infant mortality rate increases two times is two times greater, if you will. And then also increases that the child probably would go to prison or more likely some kind of crime. It doubles the rate of children dropping out of high school. It doubles the rate for children suffering from obesity. America is the biggest group of people as it relates to obesity in the world. Because, again, we got free will and we got access to everything. In some countries, the scraps that we throw away will feed a whole family. It has also increased the problem of our children abusing drugs and alcohol. As elders said today, I understand it. I didn't necessarily abuse it, but I definitely used it. It just wasn't my thing. I abused other things. But again, it increases that. And I had a daddy. I had two. It contributes to our women being abused and neglected and more than likely being abused and neglected by men. If he don't see his father, remember, it's not what you tell him, it's what you do. So if you don't model the image or you model the image that's negative, such as abuse, there's a high probability that, again, you're going to emulate that behavior. And teen pregnancy is 7 times higher. So, again, why am I bringing this to our attention? Because we need to take a closer look at the value of fathers and what they bring to the family. And, again, I'd like for you to understand what Oprah's statement says here and the responsibility that he took for me, not just a responsibility, but care and love and directed and supported her, made the difference in her life. See, I told my son at 3 years old, son, when he could comprehend the little words I was saying, I said, you know, here, I'm going to lay this on you. You got to be accountable and responsible. My son worked 7 days a week. Now, I'm not boasting or bragging. I emulated the behavior. He modeled the behavior. He don't have a bones about it. Like, what are you going to do after church? Going to work. So I know one thing. You can't occupy two spaces at once. So you can't be in the crack house and be at work, too, unless the work job is a crack house. And so I already know that ain't the case. Praise God. Because any of us vulnerable that he's doing what he saw. What we have Oprah saying about her father directly is that his contribution to her development, in the case of the worldview standard success, it was what she did. What her father set in her life in motion. Remember, she said he was a barber. See, it ain't the job. My granddaddy's always said, it ain't how much money you make, it's how much you keep. So he must have maintained something to maintain a business where other people would come in and where she would see other men working, the model. He was a difference that made a difference. He made a contribution to her life, the value of a father. Now, again, this show is about men. So do I devalue mothers? Absolutely not. But, again, it takes two to raise a family, and we'll get into that a little more later. But I want to go over a different perspective of the prodigal son. And I'm going to read the scripture out of Luke 15, 11, and 32. So Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the young son got together all he had and set off for his destined country, and there he squandered his wealth in the wild living. You know, I heard this story one time at a home going, and the gentleman said, that's why you got to say the word. I'm not putting him down, but you got to say the word. Now, I wouldn't have known it from a can of paint if he was right had I not stated the word. I think Elder talked about that. But I stated where he said the father negotiated with the son not to go out. Now, I'm reading here the scripture, and I told my mom, I said, I don't think it said that. I read it from different versions. I don't think it said that. But he said here, not long after that, the young son got together all he had, set off for the destined country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. I don't see nothing about daddy trying to change his mind, but we'll understand that a little later. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. He was hungry. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him in the field of feeding pigs. Now, this is a Jewish boy. He ain't supposed to be hooked up with the pigs. But he longed to fill his stomach with the pot that the pigs was eating. But no one gave him anything. They wouldn't give him nothing. The food that the pigs was getting. And when he came to his senses, oh, this deep now. When he came to his senses, how many of my father's highest servants have food to spare? And here I'm starving to death. I'm starving like Martha. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called son. Have mercy. He didn't even feel he was, could even be classified as a joint heir to his father's inheritance. Make me like one of your hired servants. Humility has set in. He knew the love of his father. Humility had set in. The pride that he had when he walked out the door, when he got the bling bling and the ching ching and everything in his pocket, and he goes into town and he gets himself a new Mercedes. He got him a nice crib. He got him a boat. He got the cuties on both arms. He living large. He got friends coming from everywhere. But like Teddy Pettigrew said, when I had money, I had it in big old stacks. I used to live in my cologne and they never got it back. But now I don't have nothing. I'm so all alone. Don't even have someone to call my very own. I don't even have a home. Where is all my friends? They are all my friends. But that young man woke up. That man woke up. So he got up and he went to his father. His father. His father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. Did I just not read the scripture? Filled with compassion for him, the love that he had for his son, the relationship, the presence of his son was coming back into fold. He ran to his son. No, he didn't just say, that's my boy. He said, yeah, I figured a little Buster figured out. He need to get up here. Oh, no, he jumped up and he ran to his son. And I'm going to give him a, I'm 63 years old. Now, I'm in pretty good shape. I can run to mine, too. But imagine some 63-year-olds, they ain't going to do a whole lot of running. But he ran to his son. See, that love, that bond, that what he had put in his son, he knew now was starting to come alive. It quickened his mortal body. What he had got from the words from his father began to make that young man recognize the importance and the value of his father. He threw his arms around him and kissed him, showed that emotional connection. Fathers, as elders say, like, men don't cry. I say that's the foolish talk. Again, we got to be careful. The knowledge is passed down. We like to pass down these old sayings and things. Don't walk under the ladder. Watch out for the black cat. Men don't cry. Well, if God didn't want man to cry, he wouldn't have gave him no tear ducts. So we got to be careful. And men don't kiss men. Now, maybe not in this kind of compassion, passion, like, you know that Eros type of love or a sexual love. We're not talking about that. But he kissed his son with joy. And the son said to him, Father, again, he maintained that humility. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called son. Humility set in. Pride went out the door. But the father said to his servants, them same servants that could give food away, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Dress my son to the nines. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Get my son the best food. Let him have a feast and celebrate. Let's have that feast. We going to celebrate because it's good time. For this son of mine, see what he said? This son of mine. You know, he said, this son of mine, this is my son, was dead, and he is alive again. His eyes were open. Paul said, I was blind, but now I see. He had risen from that pride-minded mindset. He had risen from that self-centered, self-seeking behavior. He had risen from the deceptions and the lies of the world. And now he knew the way, the truth, and how to live the life. That son now had opened his eyes. Meanwhile, check it out now, the Abel and Cain thing. The older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dance. Oh, they were celebrating, people. All the big boom boxes, the big speakers, everything was kicking. The bowls was going on. So he called one of the sons and asked him, what's going on? Your brother has come home, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The love of the father and the son, the value of that relationship, the value of a father's presence. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. See, pride has set in. See, this is why 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 is so important, because love is patient. His father was patient. He was patient. He was kind when his son returned. He didn't let pride, because he said, well, that's my boy. You know, as I hear people say, I had to make it, he got to make it. If Jesus said that for us, we'd be in trouble. But see, the older brother had slipped into pride. Satan had brought his device in and got him off his square. And he said, but he answered his father. He said, the older brother came angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Son, let's celebrate. Come on in. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your order. Yet you never gave me even a young goat. So how could I celebrate with my friends? But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes come home, you kill the fattest calf for him? Really? Really? Pride has set in. He missed the big picture. See, just like him. So now he didn't have to leave the home, because all what he was getting ready to do, he was squandering his relationship right there. He was losing sight of relationship right there. He was preoccupied with his self-seeking behavior right there. He had lost sight of the meaning of what his father was trying to present to him, that, yes, my son was blind, but now he see. Your brother was blind, but now he see. Let's celebrate. But, oh, no, this is the Cain and Abel story. Relationship. He said, my son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. See, he didn't hold out. He didn't say, I'm cutting you out of the wheel. He didn't say that. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. The presence of that father, the value of that father. You see, the father has given his son some pearls that he didn't lose, even though he was lost. Here's what we can see indirectly. The prodigal son understood the value of what his father had done for him and also for others, because he realized that his father was such a good man that even his servants had food to give away. He was not just a good father. He was a very good father to his servant. He was like an adopted father to his servant. He was like a mentor to his servant, the value of a father. The son realized the value of his bloodline, that he felt he couldn't even return as a son, because now he saw the value of his father from a different perspective. Once he began to live his life and what the world was offering, you see, Satan comes with his life. He offered Jesus the world. If Jesus had went on to be like the prodigal son, and he could have, he'd have missed it, true to his father's will. And as me and my prayer was prayed this morning, for which we call Miracle Thursday, I presented to my group that we would pray for those who can around past pain that prevent them from having hope of being able to love again or to believe again or to trust again in their father. See, life causes us to lose sight, lose focus, and forget the things that our fathers taught us, directly or indirectly. Even if your daddy was a drunk, and both of my fathers were alcoholics, they were just functioning alcoholics, they still brought value. Matter of fact, they brought value that none of us allowed ourselves to even get like that, where we would end up just being fallout drunk and what have you. Oh, we tested the water to drink. But I knew my cap. Three was it. Three beers, that's it. That was a wrap. To learn through indirectly what the impact of what alcohol would do. Again, I tested the water. Despite the teaching of my father, like the prodigal son, I still was able to learn. You see, Proverbs, again, as I reemphasize that 22:6, start children off on the way they should go, that even when they are old, they will not turn away from it. That's within you. It's gonna come out of you. So we can see, we can see that when we begin to give value to the Father as the prodigal son did, we can see the benefit of what a father puts into us. The value of a father is so important that it helps us to begin to recognize the benefits that the father brings into the home if he's allowed to bring his presence to it. Just like our Heavenly Father in our life, who has sent his word to us through the form of Jesus, we too have been prodigal sons, but that God's hand reaches out wide, his arms reach out wide to allow us to come back home. As a song said by the one, what would I know about being restored if I hadn't lost my place? What would I know about his mercy if I hadn't gotten out of grace? We miss that. So let me just wrap this up here. When we as father involved in our children's life, there's some key aspects. I was on a show yesterday, and they talked. They asked me to give 3 points of what I thought we should leave the show with when it came to father. The first one, I said that a good father affirms their children. You see, the prodigal son father affirmed his child. He gave value to his child, even when his other son wanted to devalue him. He stand there with conviction that this is my boy or my daughter. Then it's important that a father be physically present. You know, truth be told, let me put this in perspective. You see, now we have all these single homes, and the mother has to go to work. You know, all that song, she cook the bacon, she do this, she do that. She got to do that and the father's job, too. So she ain't in the house either. And a friend of mine pointed out something that I thought was really significant. We like to, I raised my boys, but did you raise them, or did the daycare raise them? I'm not condemn anybody. Again, you can't occupy 2 spaces at once. Because with the same tongue we have heard where women complain about the men ain't nowhere to be found, ain't around, but at the end of the day, are you allowing his presence to be known? I have a brother that hadn't seen his child for 16 years because he didn't marry that young lady, and at the end of the day, she was so angry. He hasn't seen his child. He paid child support like clockwork. He went down there. My mother told us, and father told us, you need to be about your business. You don't need them to call you. You go down there and let them know. Well, I didn't have to do that. That was automatic. In the military, we take care of business. However, he went down and took care of business. And he made the effort, went to court several times. But see, he was a little different than me. I can handle conflict. I can handle opposition a little better. Because the judge would have got sick of me. He got sick of me, because any time I get a chance to get there and I have enough money, I'd be up in there. You going to allow me to be with my children? That's me. But everybody's style is different. I'm not taking nothing away from my brother. He loves his child. He does the best he could. But we all need to get to this point to ensure we have a physical presence, because you can't occupy 2 spaces. So as I mentioned, that mother got to go to work. Mothers who are doctors, sometimes they're surgeons. And they get called. So you're out of the house now. So now you take on the role that you thought the man wasn't doing nothing, but he couldn't occupy 2 spaces at once. It's the old classic, the stay-home mom. Man, I used to even tell my children's mother was a stay-home mom. I can't be at 2 spaces at once. But when I came home, I was ready to get it on with my kids. So when I went away to war, and sometimes I was gone a couple of years, and I fall back in. I remember the conversation with my kid's mom, and she said, I don't understand. You'll go away a long time and come back, and Shardé still jump when she hear you stepping in. My presence has value. And my daughter don't walk, talk, none of that. But my presence. And when I go over there, she already kicking. And I talk about her a lot because, again, she got value. She don't do what we do, but her value is to teach us lessons. I always told my kids, mom, she teaches us lessons. Then the next one is we as father need to be emotionally available. You see, the father got excited. He ran to his son. He was emotionally elated. He was pumped up. And he kissed his son. Kids, sons need to know, if you want a man to be affectionate to you, lady, that son needs to know by the demonstration from his father how to show those affections to someone. how to love. And I, as Gary Chapman would say, the five love languages, every person is different. See, I tell women all the time, you need to tell me what makes you happy. I don't know that. All I am is the color to your black and white TV. I can only enhance your picture. I can't make it. If you've been with you long enough, you should know about you. What makes you happy? What makes you bring you joy? Tell me about it, and I'll do what I can. So we need to express these emotions. This line of communication is so significant. It's so significant. And then we need to be spiritually involved. This is the primary. You need to be saved. That's what I believe. You need to be saved, born again, spirit-filled. And you need to begin to build that spiritual foundation so that child will emulate. My son emulate. He got his own church. He got his own relationship with his pastor and all the deacons and the other affiliates. We're going to be going to church Sunday together. He invites each one of his parents and his aunts to go with him each week. So this is so significant. So all this will help to round out the value of a father. So in closing, I have much more, but I'm going to bring it to a closure. Our fathers are so important. They're so important. They have such a great deal of value, and we need to stop being preoccupied with the words we see in them and look at the potential of what we should see in them, just like Saul to Paul and Peter, Simon to Peter. Fathers bring so much more than a paycheck, just like our Heavenly Father brings so much more than him being just a genie bottle. We rub him and make a wish because of our own self-seeking behavior, wants, and desires. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, gives us so much more. Remember, God has given us so much value that he didn't devalue fathers. When he selected Mary to carry Jesus, he saw the importance of Joseph to be the earthly father. He saw the importance of allowing Noah to replenish the earth. He saw the importance of Abraham to be the father of many nations. And the list goes on. So as you approach Father's Day, take an inventory of how you value your father. Not as one who is perfect, but who is one is being developed and mature in God's light. Because remember, he is God's creation. He is God's image. So again, the most important thing of this is to understand God in a different way. Not to know of him, but to know him. So again, I like for you, this is the primary prayer of salvation. And every person usually goes here out of Romans 10:9. And say, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Therefore, I want everyone to confess that Jesus is Lord in their life, that you accept him into your life right now, turning your back away from the old ways and moving into the new, because you are now a new creation in Christ, and you should celebrate and build on that new creation. So I hope that I brought something that's relevant that gives you a clear picture of the value of a father. Yes, maybe you might be a mother who has a baby mama drama. Well, anyway, you may have a significant other in your life, and now y'all not getting along, can't get along or go along. But remember the importance of that father's life, the presence in that child's life. So, again, don't forget to check out kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. Check out our, if you need to talk directly, you can call the home office at 313-583-9739. And please, 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 $1 can be the difference that makes a difference. Show it to the ministry, www.giveify.com and GIVELIFY.com. You'll be glad you did. I hope it makes a difference. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers in the world. Value yourself. Show your value to someone else. Always recognize our Heavenly Father and his value to us. As always, in pardon, I pray for you, you pray for me. I pray for you, you pray for me. And let's watch and see the great things that God will do for you and me. God bless you. Have happy Father's Day. And again, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the knowledge and wisdom that God has imparted on me to share with you so that we may grow to be the best men that God intended us to be. God bless.
I was born and raised down in Alabama on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, cause deep down inside he was hurt cause he'd done all he could. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education he never had. He did wonders when the time got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely pays the bills we made. Oh, life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed, put his hands on my shoulders, and in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. 2 days later, Papa passed away, and I became a man that day. So I told Mama I was gonna quit school, but she said that was Daddy's strictest rule. So every morning before I went to school, I fed the chickens and I chopped wood too. Sometimes I felt that I couldn't go on. I wanted to leave, just run away from home. But I would remember what my daddy said, with tears in his eyes on his dying bed. He said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son. I tried to do my best. It's up to you. One day a strong rain came and washed all the crops away. And at the age of 13, I thought I was carrying the weight of the whole world on my shoulders. And you know, Mama knew what I was going through, 'cause every day I had to work the field, 'cause that's the only way we got our meals. See, I was the oldest of the family, and everybody else depended on me. Every night I heard my Mama pray, Lord, give him strength to make another day. So years have passed and all the kids were grown. The angels took Mama to a brand new home. Lord knows, people, I shed in tears, but my daddy's voice kept me through the years. Thank God.